now that the draft is come and gone and all guys have been signed, including undrafted free agents, it seems like a good time just to go over this roster. Who even has a chance to make this final 53-man roster? So when the San Francisco 49ers ended the season after February 11th on Super Bowl Sunday, there was probably maybe 5-6 spots on that team, and maybe a little more than that. But with the 8 guys that were signed, and then probably another, and I don't have it right in front of me, but another 7 or 8 guys from the practice squad, or excuse me, from undrafted free agent that could be on the practice squad. So how many of those guys are going to actually make the 53 and avoid the PS or taxi squad? So that is something I wanted to go over today. With that said, though, thank you so much for joining the Golden Pick Podcast. I'm your host, Guy Diehl. Thank you again for being here. And for me, there's a few names there in particular that I think are of guys that can make the team. I do actually think that all the draft picks will make this roster. So I want to be real straightforward in that. I think that might be a bold statement because the 49ers made 8 picks. With that said, I think that even as guys get healthy throughout mini camp and eventually throughout training camp, I see a lot of these guys, I see John and Kyle drafting these guys to be either backups and eventual replacements by next season. So I don't see any guy on that list of drafted picks for 2024 that is just going to not make this team or get cut. I don't. And that goes all the way down to the last couple picks in Kingston and in Bethune, both of whom can add depth. But I think it's, so for me, what's more interesting is not who's going to make this 53 out of the drafted guys, but what I want to talk about is who has a shot to make this 53-man roster of the undrafted free agents. I think that is maybe the most intriguing part about this roster buildup, is who of that group can make the final 53. And that group includes guys like Cody Schrader, Drake Nugent. That includes guys like Mason Plein, Tariq Owens. And I know I'm going to miss a few of them in there, but those are the ones that kind of stand out to me. I know we had the cornerback or safety out of Vanderbilt, Mahoney. So there's a few guys that I think, oh, these guys are interesting. Now, keep in mind, the 49ers also had some really solid names on that practice squad last year. And so a good chunk of those guys that were brought to camp and were the 90 camp players that were brought in will probably be brought back, you know? So a chunk of those guys will obviously be brought back as well. So of the new guys, though, I do think in particular there's a few guys. Oh, and I forgot Tanner Mordecai, which might be the most intriguing one of the players that I wanted to name. But before I talk about him, and I promise I will, because I think he's a really interesting prospect, and I think it's really telling that Kyle and John decided to take another quarterback as an undrafted free agent. I think that that was a really interesting decision, and a decision that speaks to not only the fact that the 49ers realized a few years ago how important it was to have a stable of really, really solid quarterbacks and NFL-ready quarterbacks, guys that can step in and start for a game or two or longer, right? I don't think it was just that. I think it's this idea that the competition is so important amongst the twos and the threes. And it's really, really important at the most important position in all professional sports, in my opinion. And that's at quarterback, right? So I think that that's what that spoke to because, and again, we'll get into this, but Tanner Mordecai is a player. He is not just a camp body that they brought in, some guy that, you know, they think can pick up the system and he's going to be here, but they're going to cut on August, you know, 12th or something like that, right? I don't see that. And I'll get into why, and I'll get into his shot. But before I do want to say that out of all those players, and I saw someone, I think, posted something about on social media about Tariq Owens and, you know, can he even make the team with the amount of wide receivers we have? We drafted 2 more. And to me, yeah, I actually think he can. And I think I probably even posted back that he's going to be competition for guys like Conley and guys like Bell and guys like Danny Gray And really, Danny's on the outside looking in my opinion. I think that the 49ers, whether that was because of health or that was just because of the performance, and it just wasn't, you know, the snaps weren't there. But I think this is, it's tough, I think, for Kyle to trust any young player. But I think for whatever reason, maybe it's because he played receiver in college at the University of Texas, but when he sees receivers, they need to be really polished, and they need to be ready to go. And I think that that's part of the reason they took Ricky Pearsall at 31, because I thought that they saw something that is rare for rookie receivers, and that's somebody who is just really polished in the route running, somebody who's explosive, but somebody who rarely makes mistakes, somebody who's a willing blocker, who's willing to go across the middle and plays with a tenacity and a fire from snap to snap, down after down. And we don't see that. Even pros struggle with that. You know, I've seen countless times online where they show, you know, even Debo, right? Where, and I'm not trying to put any kind of information out there about Debo, and because I was just talking about, you know, our new receiver, it's not that at all. But just the first one that came to mind when talking about, you know, if the play isn't going towards his side, he's not a guy that really hustles, you know, and they kind of spotlight the fact that he kind of just jogs it a little bit, you know, or really goes through the motions. And in an NFL game, you really can't do that. I mean, maybe if you're nursing a bad injury or something of that nature, and I'm sure he's not the only one that does it. You know, 49ers have very few guys that do it. But for the most part, you know, Kyle and John look for guys that they're going to play hard and they're going to be fast and they're going to sell whatever look they're trying to give. If the play is to the right, the guys on the left need to sell it as though it's to the left. If there's going to be a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, they need to be done with intention. They can't just be guys walking across the formation, jogging, you know, excuse me. It can't be that. And so to me, that'll be the biggest determining factor in terms of who makes this team, especially of the undrafted guys. So with all of that said, I think that there are some names of guys that really should have been drafted. And I'll do the three in particular. Those three names of undrafted guys that we took that should have been drafted are, to me, Tanner Mordecai, quarterback out of Wisconsin, came as a transfer from SMU a couple of years ago. Drake Nugent, who was the center from Michigan. So again, national championship team, somebody who's been playing in a run-heavy offense under Jim Harbaugh for a few years now, somebody that understands that type of blocking, can understand and pick up a zone blocking scheme. And so he's another one that to me really, really should have been drafted, in my opinion. Good technique, maybe not nearly as talented as some of the guys that went in the first three or four rounds, but I think 5, 6, and 7, he definitely could have gone in those rounds. So that's my second guy, so Drake Nugent. The third guy is this kid, sixth-year walk-on, Cody Schrader out of Missouri, all right? And I know online they're going to say it's supposed to be said Missouri, all right? I'm not from that part of the country, but this kid out of Mizzou, hopefully that's okay to say, this dude's amazing. This guy literally led the SEC in rushing as a sixth-year senior walk-on. All right? I have to just take a moment. I think we all need to take a moment and realize how incredibly rare that is. And he's not 6'2", 235 pounds, you know, or 6'3", 6'4", 235, incredible speed, athleticism, leaping ability, he can catch it out of the bat. No, it's none of those things, all right? Or very few of them. The one thing that stood out to me when I looked at all the different measurables that he had, whether that had to do with a pre-combine or et cetera, during his evaluation and his draft profile, the one measurable that stood out somewhat is his 10-yard split. Okay, he's in the upper 60th or 65th or 66th percentile in his 10-yard split, right? Which for those of us that maybe aren't, you know, don't follow this stuff as closely or aren't as aware how that affects the running back position, that basically means this dude is really, really fast in those first 10 yards, which makes a lot of sense. As a quarterback, I think that that's important, but as a running back, it's pivotal that in those first few yards when they hand you the ball, you need to be explosive. Now, you need to be decisive and know where to find the hole and let your blockers open it up for you and then explode. But the fact that he can do that in those first 10 yards almost matters more to me than the 40, because there's not a lot of runs in the NFL where you need to be able to run a really great 40 in order to be a really quick running back in those first few yards. It's not like the running back gets the ball and then he needs to literally get fast after 40 yards. No, he needs to be fast right away, right? The line of scrimmage is not 40 yards from wherever the play starts. It's right there in front of him. It's about 4 or 5 yards, if that. So, you know, to me, those are the three players that really should have been drafted. Absolute steals by the 49ers. And I'm going to throw one more in there. I'm going to throw in a bonus guy that really could make this team because of need and depth. And that's Mason Plein. 6'7", 250 pounds. There were reports. I know I heard some content creators talking about the fact that his 40 time was slow because he was running on a rainy, soggy field. Hey, if that's the case, I'll believe it, because he does not look like he's in, you know, a 4.7 or 4.8 type of runner. I think he definitely they clocked him at like 4.81. I think that's really, really slow. He does not look that slow on tape. I do think that he's not even close to being George Kittle or any kind of burner for that matter at tight end. But if you told me he runs it close to like 4.7 or maybe high 4.6s, which is where a lot of tight ends, especially the average speed, is what they do, is what they can run. Hey, that's plenty good enough. It's good enough to get open, especially if he's a good route runner. And at 6'7", 250 pounds, you can't teach that. So he's a guy who can make the team. And again, that's an area of need for the 49ers. I am not super high on the guys from last year in Cameron Latu and Braden Willis. I'm a little higher on Braden Willis. And I think I've said before, maybe, I don't know if I've said it on this podcast, but he reminds me a little bit of Delanie Walker, at least he did last year. And Delanie was awesome, but really Braden didn't get any playing time. So I didn't get to see a lot of the stuff I saw on tape when he was playing out of Oklahoma this past season. So I'm saying he could be, because he's a smaller guy, but he could still be quick enough and be really interesting as almost like a hybrid fullback tight end type of guy, more of a receiving threat than a blocking threat. Just doesn't have the size, doesn't have the strength, but really interesting guy in the passing game. That said, if this Mason Plein kid can make the team as an undrafted free agent at his size, that would be really interesting. Really, really interesting to take a look, to keep an eye on. So during preseason, during camp, during preseason, keep an eye on those guys, because with all these guys we drafted, I'm sure that there will be guys, and then guys from last year, that there will be guys that maybe are injured. There will be guys that maybe didn't progress. And there will be guys that are really coming for their jobs. I mean, let's be really honest. Every single season, if you're a second or third stringer in the NFL, that's really a training ground, right? Like you cannot assume that the very next season, just because you were a backup, that you're going to be on the team again the following season. You just can't. And there's just more competition. There's plenty of competition. But those are some areas that I, and some positions that I really feel pretty good about saying that Drake Nugent, Tanner Mordecai, Cody Schrader, and as an, let's say, honorable mention, Mason Plein could really make this team. They can make the final 53 and be on the team for week one. I think it's possible. I think of that group, the one that for sure is the most interesting to me is quarterback. And the reason for that is because even though we went ahead and we signed a viable backup quarterback for Brock Purdy, it doesn't mean that there's no competition in terms of Brandon Allen. I think, I mean, Josh Dobbs, yeah, his position is pretty secured. He's the number two. And regardless of the fact that he wasn't here last year, he's talented enough and he's shown enough in the NFL that he can win a game. He can almost put the team on his back. And he struggled there towards the end of the season. But early in the season, he was playing really, really good football. So I think as a backup, I think he's plenty good enough. But I have to tell you, watching the tape, and I know he hasn't played in the NFL, I think Tanner Mordecai, probably the second most talented guy on that in that group on that depth chart at quarterback. I really believe that. You're talking about a guy who's 6'2", 212, whatever, 215, not really big, not, you know, really almost Brock Purdy size, as I've said before. But he's a guy that has great feet. He runs a 4.47, so we know he's fast. And his, again, his 10-yard split, those first, that's pretty quick. I think that he's a guy that has a really accurate arm, and those kind of things you can't really teach. And for me, the guy that he's competing most with, obviously, is Brandon Allen, because just from a talent standpoint, I think that Kyle is going to see these guys, the fans are going to see these guys, and they're going to go, oh, that guy right there is better, which is kind of what happened when Brock took over. I mean, there were already whispers and murmurs that, oh, you know what? Brock Purdy looks pretty damn good. And so when he eventually started, when Jimmy went down, a lot of the team and the coaches were not, I mean, again, he's never played, but they weren't exactly super worried, because they'd seen this dude at practice and at camp, and they could see, you know, he's plenty talented enough. You know, he understands the playbook. He understands all these things. He understands the mechanics of what he needs to do. And the talent, if the talent is there as well, then what are we really arguing about? What are we really talking about? And again, Tanner Mordecai, to me, when I turn on the tape, and I watched not only the Wisconsin tape from this last season, but then his SMU. I watched portions of games from SMU the last couple of years. A lot of highlights out there on him. He can throw it deep with accuracy. He's a guy who can throw off platform pretty well. And he really does remind you of Brock. And that's another thing that I think is something to be noted, that they picked up a guy. They could have picked up a bunch of guys. There were a bunch of interesting candidates there at undrafted for the quarterback position. And yet they went with this guy, a guy that in some ways may be a little bit faster than Brock, maybe, again, better 40 time, but maybe arm might be similar, might even be better, who knows. But again, accurate, a guy that probably not as elusive as Brock is, because Brock is extremely elusive in and outside the pocket. But still, a guy who can escape danger and make plays with his feet. Just, you know, a guy who can attack that 15 to 25 yard zone. And that's, I think, the thing that is really interesting about Brock, and that kind of has made teams have to rethink that area of the field. Because with all the space underneath to attack defenses, the flat has been more open than it has ever been. It is just extremely easy to pick up cheap yards. You're going to pick up 4 or 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards, lay it into the flat and let guys make plays. Because again, with the rule changes and everything like that, it has really allowed for more spacing. And then when you add in the fact the 49ers have so many different weapons to attack, and now adding on another weapon in the slot in Pearsall, there's going to be more space probably than there was even last year. And there was plenty of space last year. So I think it's really interesting that they picked a guy that has a very similar skill set to Purdy, can attack that short to intermediate zone, and then also attack you deep with accuracy, surprising accuracy. Even though he doesn't have an absolute cannon, he has a good arm. He does have a good arm. And he's a guy, again, very, very interesting. So to me, if he makes this team and beats out Brandon Allen, that will just bring back a lot of memories to me of when Brock beat out Sudfeld, right? He beat out Nate Sudfeld, a guy who had a contract similar to Brandon Allen. And yet Kyle and John are looking at each other going, yeah, but this guy's pretty good. Like, we can't not let him, because that's my concern. I think that's what Kyle is going to see again this time around. Now, I don't pretend to think that, you know, anything's going to change, obviously, at QB1. QB1 is QB1. Please don't everybody have some kind of, you know, go crazy at me on Twitter or whatever. I would never say that, because Brock is the guy. Brock is the guy. Now, I'm talking about in the backup positions beyond Brock. Yes, it's pretty well defined with Josh Dobbs. But beyond Josh, and even after the season, you know, Josh probably not going to be here beyond this next season, right? It's very possible. Kind of like what happened to Sam Darnold. If you're such a good backup that maybe someone will give you an opportunity to be a bridge starter somewhere else, then that's what you're going to do, because the 49ers have an established franchise quarterback now. So whoever backs that person up, they're not going to stay here for very long. They're probably going to want to take advantage of the system and learn as much as possible, maybe put some good tape on late in games or like in the last game of the season if it becomes irrelevant, and then try to get a gig somewhere else where they're going to get some more playing time, right? So that's kind of what it looks like. So behind him, it's very interesting to have a guy like Mordecai beat out Brandon Allen. Very, very interesting, because again, if Dobbs gets hurt, now all of a sudden Mordecai's the backup. And like I said, I think he is the second most talented guy in that depth chart. So I really do. So I don't have any issues with that. All that being said, let's assume Tanner goes on and he becomes a really good backup quarterback and an asset. Well, there's a guy you can trade, because the most needy position in the game, the most desperate, the teams literally picked 6 quarterbacks out of the first 12 picks in this past draft. 6 quarterbacks in the first 12, knowing full well that their hit rate is 33% for the entire round. The entire first round hit rate is about 33%. And yet all these franchises said, that's fine, we're going to go ahead and take a quarterback. I mean, outside of the Falcons doing what they did, and again, Michael Penix is a good player and all that, but outside of their very shocking pick at quarterback because they had just spent a ton of resources to get Kirk Cousins, all those other teams, they did need a quarterback. And yet they needed other things too. They wouldn't, if they weren't picking in the top 10, then, you know, obviously they needed stuff because they were picking in the top 10. So they needed more than just a quarterback. But all of them said, we're taking a quarterback. So, you know, if a guy like Mordecai or any other really valuable backup is someone that can become a starter or bridge starter, something, there's value there. You could flip him, a guy that went undrafted. You could maybe, in a couple of years, maybe you flip him for a 4th-round pick or a 5th-round pick. Why not? So here's a guy, again, the 49ers creating draft capital and draft value out of a guy that went undrafted because teams overlooked him for any number of different reasons they shouldn't have. So those are my guys. I really believe that. So you're talking about the 8 guys, and I haven't worked out the entire depth chart yet, but I'm just saying from what I can see, these guys that were drafted all either as a depth piece or they're just going to be inserted. I think, again, Ricky Pearsall, he's going to play in the slot. He's a starter in the slot. Again, the 49ers wouldn't have invested a first-round pick if to just stash him. Not at that position. Not at wide receiver. So I do think he's going to start. I think that the more interesting conversation will be, what do you do with a guy like Jacob Cowing outside of having do the punt return duties? And, oh, by the way, you also signed Trent Taylor to do that. So that there's competition there with one another just for that, which, as the 49ers learned last year, is very important too. And I think that they felt it was worth getting a 4th-round pick, not just for him to return punts, that's not what I'm saying, or kicks, but that's part of his skill set, that is part of it, and that it is an important part of the game. Okay, so that's kind of how I see it, everybody. I'll break down this depth chart as we go forward, but for today, I really just wanted to say that those guys as undrafted free agents do have a chance. And I did not speak on Tariq, and I should have. And the one thing, because I think T.O. was incredible, and he's one of the greatest receivers, especially greatest receiving talents I ever saw. So as a quick aside, before I wrap up, I do want to say Tariq does have the measurables. He's 6'3", about 205-ish pounds. So he is a guy that has the measurables, can get a little stronger, but he's got the height and he's got the ability, I think, to become a good receiver. But as I've said in past episodes, I think for him, he may be a guy that you can stash in your practice squad. that you can maybe stash on the depth chart, because he's a guy that still needs to make sure that his route running is more polished. The good thing, though, of him coming to our system, to our team, is that he's going to get to see a guy like Pearsall and Ayuk and some of these other guys that their route running is crisp. It all is done quickly. It's done with intention, and there are no wasted movements. So I think once he cleans that up, once those things get better and he, again, continues to do good work, I think he can stick around. And then we'll see in a season or so what that wide receiver room looks like, because we know it's going to look different. Not for this year, but going forward after this season, this upcoming season, that receiver room is going to look very different. So again, there's another guy that can hang around, even if he's hanging around just in the practice squad or he's buried in the depth chart somehow. I do think he can become somebody that we're paying close attention to going forward. But for this season, it's those guys that I mentioned: Nugent, Mordecai, Schrader, and possibly Mason Plyne as well. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me. And as always, take care, faithful.